So I called this the paradox of our call. We often, or I often, I don't know if you do, have this vision of Jesus walking beside the lake and seeing Peter and seeing James and John and calling them to come and follow. It's kind of this, they're just about their business and he's strolling by and inviting them into this relationship of following and leading. But it's not that in Luke's telling of the story. Luke knows the story a little bit differently. If we pay attention, Jesus is teaching at the edge of the lake that the crowd is pressing in on him. So it's a large crowd pressing in to hear every word. It's as if every single one of them needs a hearing aid. So they're all pressing in so that they can hear the words that Jesus has to say. And there are these fishermen beside the shore taking care of the nets from a night that did not bring them any profit. From a night that did not bring them any fish. And Jesus sees the boat and asks someone to take him out. Asks Simon to take him out in his boat so he can continue teaching. And think about Simon at this point. You know, he's just been fishing all night long. He's repairing nets. He has no fish. He has no way to feed his family or have any income from this night of sitting on the lake. And Jesus asks him to take him out in the water, and he does. And Jesus teaches the crowd, and Simon must be listening at this point because he has nothing else to do unless he's very tired and sleeping in the boat. But we don't hear that. That would be making things in the scriptures that aren't there. Instead, at the end of his teaching, Jesus asks him to put the nets in the water. Can you imagine Simon's response after this? There aren't any fish. I've been here all day long. I've been here all night long. I didn't bring Mac Wilson with me because he, you know, he's the one who catches all the fish. But my nets are empty. And Jesus says, well, put them on the other side of the boat. And he does. I'm going to do what you say, but, you know, there were no fish. And so he does it, and he gets such an abundant catch that his nets are breaking. He has to call other fishermen over, and the boats are sinking with the amount of fish that they are catching. So think about this, from a night of no fish to a morning when they can go and sell fish and make the funds that they need to support their family, that their village, their family, everyone gets to eat and then some. That level of abundance must have been moving them from grief to extreme joy. And then when they realize what has happened, Simon's reaction is, stay away from me, for I am a sinful person. You are something that I am not. You don't need to be near me, this human who fails. And Jesus' response is, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. And this is the part I want us to pay attention to. These fishermen leave this abundant catch, this sense of great wealth on the shore, and follow Jesus without any sense of what kind of reward or what kind of cost it will be. When we are called, we're called to leave behind our attachments to the things of the world. We're to leave behind that which we think has value, to enter into a life relationship with God through Jesus Christ that has value beyond measure. Not one that we can count with human hands, not one that we can see with human eyes. But that relationship that we build through Christ with God is a relationship of abundant love. Where's the paradox? It's in the following. We're called to follow, but we're also called to go and lead. So come and follow me. Go out into the world and make disciples in my name. We're called to come and go. We're called to lead and follow. So how do we do all of that as followers of Jesus Christ? The primary thing Jesus is teaching us is that what we have to leave behind, what we cannot follow, are the ways of the world. We cannot let the ways of the world step into the ways of our call to follow Christ. So in Sunday school, their lesson was to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the two greatest commandments, but those are the ones from which we are to use in our life of discipleship. As we follow Christ into the world, our allegiance has to be with God, who we love with all our heart and mind and soul, and to his mission of the transformation of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his life, that it may have life in abundance, that the world might be saved. And I just wonder about Simon and James and John. How afraid they must have been. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, follow me, and I will have you catch people. He doesn't promise them an income, does he? He doesn't promise them an easy road. He simply says, come and follow me. And to think about Simon's first response is, hey, I'm a sinner, get away from me. How many of us believe we're not worthy of the call to follow Christ into the world? How many of us believe we're not worthy of salvation? And even once we've been saved, we still think we're not worthy. One of the problems with communion, which we're going to share in today, is people won't come to the table because they believe they are unworthy to receive that which God gives freely. We will never be worthy enough. But God says, we have been worthy since the time that we were created. We don't need an abundance of stuff. That's why we have a free market. We're getting rid of some of that abundance of stuff. We don't need an abundance of stuff. But we certainly need an abundance of love. The world needs an abundance of love. And that's what we're called to do. We don't catch people with hate. We don't catch people with fear. We don't catch people with promises we can't keep. The way we catch people is to tell them our story, our testimony of our lives in Christ. Again, in Sunday school, that's their this month's spiritual practice, is the spiritual practice of testimony. And often we think, those of us who are a little bit older than some of you, think that testimony is about bringing that small little Bible and telling people the words to say so that they can become Christian. That's one way of doing testimony. But the real testimony, the testimony that tells people about God's love, is our lives. How we live, how we act, how we breathe, that love of God and love of neighbor. But in the women's study this week, Brené Brown talked about our vulnerability, that the only way we can truly love and truly be connected is to be vulnerable, to be open and authentic in who we are, to love as we are called to love, but to be a little bit like Simon and say, hey, but I'm not a very good person. Sometimes I sin. Sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes I make mistakes. But let me tell you my story about how Jesus loved me just as I am. Let me tell you my story about how God gave words for me to speak, how God gave me a life to live because I said yes to this God who saw me worthy of redemption. How many of us beat ourselves up for imperfections when God can use us just as we are. And that's one of the things we are to leave behind, is that image of ourselves as this imperfect person who can't do what God calls us to do. We're to go forward just as we are and allow God to work in us and through us so that people see the Christ in us as we see the Christ in them. But the other piece that's a bit of a paradox is sometimes the words that we're called to share aren't the words about love, about loving God and loving neighbor. The Isaiah passage had some additional verses that we didn't read at the beginning of the worship. So I want to share what the Lord says to Isaiah when he asks him, "The whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" Oh, so they may not look with their eyes. I thought that was odd. So they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed. And then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people. And the land is utterly desolate until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." The word of God for us, the people of God. Sometimes the words we're given to share are words we don't want to share because they're hard words for people who needs to hear them. The paradox of our call is sometimes we get to talk about the joy of the Lord and the love of God and the love of God's people. And sometimes we're called to challenge the people to be God's people once again because they have strayed. And the only way we know that is when we stay in that right relationship with God, and when we stay in community with one another so we can correct one another when we go astray. God might call you at a time when you are low, but God might call you at a time of abundance. But when God calls, our answer should be, "Here I am, send me." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.